Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with the homie Will T and myself, Wole, and we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. The homie Ray Jeezy's out. What's going on, Will T?
Nothing much, sir. How are you?
I am good, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we watching the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
The play-in game.
The play-in game.
Which I had no idea that was on TV today.
I know. I was truly shocked that you didn't even know that this game was going on.
I was busy watching YouTube, Jake the Snake and Diamond Dallas Page.
I wasn't gonna say what you were watching.
It's okay. You can call me out, bro. This is what it is. This is what it is. We real out here, man. I can't be faking to the audience, dude.
I get it.
We real out here, man. So, but yeah, Will schooled me. I didn't know what was going on. Will was like, "Yo, what are you doing? Don't you know the NBA playoffs on tonight?" I was like, "The NBA playoffs. It's starting tonight."
Absolutely.
I was surprised, man. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, Kyrie, KD, and I should know this. KD, DMV, man, I should really be about that life, man.
Yes, I should.
You know what I'm saying? I apologize, KD. But, yeah, what's going on, man? What's good?
Everything's good. Everything's copacetic on this end, man. Looking forward to the weather warming up just a tad bit outside.
It's nice outside today, bro.
It is. But, you know, it also causes issues for me because I have seasonal allergies. So, you know, it's the good and the bad. Yeah, but, you know.
For me, everything was good. I'm trying to think what was popping in the streets. Went to Philly with the girlfriend.
Okay.
All right. Went to Ishka Bibbles for a little bit.
Ishka Bibbles. Does she listen to the show?
Yeah, she does, bro. So she hears comments. She's on this little live thing. She ain't on tonight. I don't see her name pop up, but okay. Yeah. But Ishka Bibbles. What else, bro?
You love Ishka Bibbles.
You know, bro. I love Ishka Bibbles. I effed up the steak and cheese. A cheese steak. Sorry, y'all. Cheese steak from folks to Philadelphia. I'm just saying steak and cheeses. You know,
It's a cheese steak.
Yeah. I messed that crap up. I went to Fat Tuesdays. I love me some Fat Tuesdays. I'm mad that I forgot my.
Don't I know?
You know it. You know it, bro.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, man. I love me. I didn't even finish my drink, though, at Fat Tuesdays.
How many did you
have? I only had one. Bro, a half. That's how. I was already hitting. We was hitting bars, bro. I was already kind of like feeling the vibe, dog.
That's what's up, man.
You know what I'm saying? So it was.
Philly's a nice place to visit and, you know, do, you know, bar hop,
yeah.
Go see sporting events.
Yeah. Your mask is rubbing on the mic. You're good, though. Making sure. I'm going to make sure that you're presented in the right way, man. You know,
I heard it.
But yeah, say about, yeah, what are you saying about Philly?
Yeah, Philly's a good place to go, you know, hit a lot. It's a nice place to go hit a lot of spots and visit. You know what I mean? It's not that far from us, so.
Yeah. I keep forgetting how close it really is, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, definitely. It's not like driving to Allen. You just drive down to Allentown. Like, that's a whole different hike.
Yeah, that's far.
But hey, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Keim Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Keim and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll provide flowers for the late Washington Commanders quarterback, Dwayne Haskins. Then at 8:20, we'll talk about the Learners possibly selling the Washington Nationals at 8:35. We'll look back at the Washington Wizards season. Finally, in our segment, HBCU Corner, we have a pre-taped interview with Delaware State University defensive back Esaias Guthrie. But first, Saturday, former Washington Commanders quarterback Dwayne Haskins was killed in South Florida when he got hit by a truck. Where were your thoughts when you heard the news? Actually, you know, we texted and whatnot, but what were your thoughts?
Yeah, when I first heard it, I was in total shock, disbelief. Mm-hmm. You know, I woke up. Well, I was already up, but yeah. I saw a news flash come across my cell phone, and it said, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins dead. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, right.
I was like, you know, I know he's a relatively young guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's younger than me. Yeah. I think he was 24.
Yeah.
So when I heard that, you know, first of all, my heart went out to his wife and the rest of his family and those who knew him and, you know, truly loved him. But with regards to him as the person, you know, automatically when we, you know, most people, when they think of Dwayne Haskins, they think of his time here as the quarterback of the Washington Commanders. But I'll take it back. You know, I heard about him. He made himself famous at Bullis High School in Potomac.
Yeah.
That's when I first heard about him. And, you know, he was all everything, you know, amazing young man, playing the quarterback position. Then he went on to Ohio State and led them to a national championship.
Yeah.
But, you know, as with all, you know, all people in life, you know, what you do as a job doesn't necessarily define who you are as a person. And, you know, just over the last couple of days hearing everything that the people who knew him well and were close to him, you know, as they reflected on his life, you know, it's just made me look. Not a little, but made me sad, you know, that someone with so much potential and who brought so much joy to people's lives, past was taken away tragically at a young age.
Yeah, man, it's sad. It really is. Like you, I've heard about Dwayne. I didn't know about Dwayne Haskins and Bullets till I think I had a conversation with Ray, and Ray was telling me, talking about how he was supposed to go to Maryland, right? It was like him, Stephon Diggs' little brother, and some other player I can't think of at the moment. I think the player probably already did go to Maryland. But they all were supposed to go to Maryland to hope to have, you know, folks from the area go to Maryland and kind of put Maryland on the map, right? That was the plan. That was the goal. He went to Ohio State. And I've said this, you know, I said this before. He's probably, in terms of Ohio State quarterbacks, he's the best Ohio State quarterback I've seen in a while, in terms of, you know, throwing that football. Fields is obviously now up there, right? But at that particular point in time, he was the best quarterback that I've seen at Ohio State, and looked like he could be a decent NFL quarterback, because the whole thing about Ohio State quarterbacks were that they don't produce in the NFL, right? So he looked like he could be that guy. And I was a fan of the kid. I thought, and I'm a Michigan fan, right? So I've seen enough. I saw him play against Michigan as a freshman. And I was like, who is this kid? And thinking that, you know, we were going to, you know, the starter, I can't think of the Ohio State starter at the time, but he missed the game. He's playing, and Dwayne is playing at the Big House. And
Barrett,
thank you. Barrett. And Dwayne is
torching. JT
Barrett. And Dwayne Haskins is torching Michigan, right? I mean, we're talking about a freshman. And this Michigan defense is one of the better defenses in the country. This is a top five defense in the country. And Dwayne Haskins is tearing it up. So, you know, to me, he had, you know, had a lot of ability. But like you said, Will, doesn't, you know, what you do on the football field doesn't define you, right? It's what your peers think of you, what your friends think of you, what your family thinks of you, what they have to say about you, what the impact you brought into their lives, right?
Right.
So to me, you know, from hearing from people, I'm hearing from players, past teammates, friends, family about Dwayne Haskins. Man, it hurts, man, because the whole thing in anything, and this is for any young man, yo, 24 is too young to leave this earth, man. It is. It's just too young, man. It's too young. And to leave it that way, you know what I'm saying? Like, to, you know, reports are that, you know, he ran out of gas, he got out the car.
Well, let's not talk about until we know.
Until we know, but I'm saying it's reports. Yeah. I'm saying reports, though. And not to say whatever, but just to leave the world that way, you know what I'm saying? Period. You know, something that's like, right now, reportedly, it seems so flukish, right? So, man, my prayers are up. My prayers are with him, man. Really, I mean, with the fam and friends, man. Yeah. Really.
And, you know, extremely sad. You know, Dwayne Haskins, if his family's listening, you know, our prayers, positive energy.
It's all about positivity.
Big virtual hug goes out to them and his other friends who he impacted and, you know, left a who have a big empty hole in their heart now because of his passing. There's no easy way to transition off of that, but you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. All right, what are some of the positive moments that you remember about Haskins during his time here in D.C. as the quarterback of the Washington Commanders?
So I had an opportunity when I, you know, when I got to go to games, right? So.
Yeah, when they allowed you in, allowed you were part of the club?
Yeah, when they let me in the building, you know what I'm saying?
They let you in the building?
Yeah.
We can have a conversation about that after this.
It's nothing serious, but I can tell you why it is what it is. We can talk about it, though.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it on air.
He was, you know, I mean, he was a braggart. I mean, he was confident. I don't want to put like, let me put it this way, he was confident. But obviously, you know, once you hit with adversity and you see that this game is different, you know, take a step back. But his rookie year, what I liked about him is I felt like he was getting better every game. Like, he got better every game. And within that regime, and that's the regime with Callahan and
Jay Gruden.
Jay Gruden, like, he didn't really want him, but Jay Gruden was on that. It was the head coach at the time in the beginning. Callahan, and then you had
Kevin O'Connell.
That was his offense. So he became his offensive coordinator when he became the starter when Jay Gruden got fired and O'Connell took over it. And you saw progression, like little by little, you saw progression. So, you know, he had his first win against Detroit. You know, he was excited. You had Morgan Moses give him a big hug on the sideline. And then to me, what I remember is the game he got hurt in the game, but he was dealing against, I want to say it was the Eagles, the last game of the season, Eagles or the Giants, last game of the season, he was dealing. I want to say the Eagles. And then he got hurt. And reports were that, you know, the owner came down and was like, hey, don't try to come back in the game. You know, you're the future, blah, blah, blah. But he was balling, like, dude was balling. And I, you know, going into the next season, you're thinking, like, okay, Dwayne showed progress, showed promise. And for me, again, I'm going to tell you, like, for me, again, I'm a Michigan fan, and I've seen promise in Dwayne. So I thought, like, you know, he could be a decent quarterback. But I will say this, though. I felt like this organization kind of failed Dwayne Haskins. And I'll say it, I keep it a buck. Like, I felt this organization failed Dwayne in this aspect of he was a quarterback, like any rookie young quarterback. We saw with Jason Campbell, anybody. Like, you got an offensive coordinator, you have an offensive system, right? You're a rookie, you're a young guy. You have one system, and you start to show progress. You start to show progression. So what happens? The new regime comes in. Instead of keeping the people on that same offensive mindset with the offensive system, you go to a whole different system, and you flip it on them. So I just felt like in terms of here, with Jay Gruden, owner, whatever, the owner putting pressure on him, all that in play. Then you had a new regime coming in, not really believing in him, changing the whole offense. He wasn't in a position to succeed in Washington. You know what I mean? That was my thing that I take away from Dwayne. It was like a lot of people were trashing him, but he wasn't in the situation. He wasn't in a position to be successful. Now, as anything, we all have to take it in ourselves, right? But for him, I will say this, that for him, he was not put in an ideal situation to win football games.
I'm going to echo your sentiments. What I'll remember about him during his time here is, one, you know, that first win against the Detroit Lions and him going to go celebrate with the fans on the way into the locker room. That just left an extremely positive feeling to me. You know, you see someone, you know, from here,
yeah,
he's embracing it, like, embracing it. Like, yeah, you know, like, I'm a football player, but I'm one of y'all. I want to celebrate it with the people from the community, those who came out here to support us, because Lord knows there aren't a lot of people to go to those games anymore.
Facts.
Second, and like you know, this was an organization. He came to this organization when this organization was in flux, and it's still in flux, right? And he was never really given an opportunity to grow, right?
I'm serious.
You know, there were reports about some of his, you know, practicing habit and off field habits, but you know, I think with some veteran leadership, if you invest in someone like that, and some veteran leadership, you know, maybe over time those things
change,
tend to work themselves out, and he progresses as a man, because he was only, what, 21
like 20 at the time? Yeah, 24, man. Like, yeah. It's been a couple of years now since
So he was probably like 21 at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was never given a chance to succeed here in Washington, but, you know, I was hoping the best for him, especially coming into this offseason where he actually had an opportunity in Pittsburgh to compete for the starting spot.
And in a stable organization.
Yep, in a stable organization, stable coach, the right environment which you would need to mature.
Exactly.
To mature, you know, so sad to hear, you know. Like I said, it's no easy way to, like, have this conversation and really transition.
But I got one with George. We on Facebook. We have a comment on Facebook. The homie George said, those final two about Dwayne Haskins and something positive. I'm all about giving folks their flowers. George says, those final two games under Callahan, he started to cook a little bit. I still maintain that Gruden tried to sabotage him and Rivera didn't give him a proper chance. Yeah, pretty much. I agree with George.
Like, yeah, I agree with. I think he. Yeah, he echoed everything we've been saying.
Yeah.
So let's not continue to reiterate it over, over and over again.
So you want to? So you said you want to ask about what?
You getting into the games? Will Wole have the opportunity to go be in the press box this upcoming season?
Look, man, we don't know, man. The Rivera regime, they different. You know what I'm saying? Like, they different.
What's so different about them? You don't want to put them on Front Street?
Oh, no, they're just different. Like, they don't, like, what they recognize as an individual who's been doing it for a while, they're not giving Obama their flowers. His flowers, though, bro. Like,
oh, so they're not creating an opportunity for you to come there.
At that time, but somebody who was in that position isn't there anymore, so maybe something will change. Who knows? But at this particular point in time, you know, I got other hustles, bro. So
hashtag put Wally in the box.
It's all good. You can put me in the box, but I'm just saying, like, right now I got other hustles, man. You know, we rock at HBCUs right now and represent, you know, the culture. But yeah, that squad and the people in that, you know, in that back room who used to bump with me. You know what I'm saying? It seems like, you know, I've been blackballed. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well.
I feel like, you know, I feel like Cap.
And on that note.
You want to talk about real quick before we go to break, about like what it just got the news that Congress, you heard about, like,
yeah, I heard about
yeah.
it. So evidently there, Jason Freeman, who was an executive for the Washington Commanders, I believe he worked in there on their business side, if I'm not mistaken, has made some allegations, you know, to Congress about there being two sets of books.
Yeah.
One set of books were
for home and one for visitors.
No.
Some of those.
Yeah, one of them were juiced.
Yeah,
and one of them weren't juiced.
Yeah.
The juiced books were kept in house, where the other books that didn't necessarily reflect all of the revenue from games, from ticket sales. Were passed on to the other owners, and we all know that the NFL amongst the owners a partnership, where the money from TV deals and home attendance get, you know, that's shared amongst the partners, the owners and the league. So he's made some allegations in front of Congress that Washington withheld funds from the other owners, and two, that Washington put up an impediment to season ticket holders from being reimbursed from their security deposits.
Yeah.
So it's looking as if...
they said they did it. That's what Congress is saying right now.
Hey, that's what they're saying. Like, I don't know if it's true or not. Yeah. I'm more inclined, based off everything that's come out about this team, I'm more inclined to believe it than I'm not. But there was a 20-page response that was sent from the Congressional Oversight Board to the FTC for an investigation. That investigation will be specifically about the refund of season ticket holders' security deposit.
Yeah, it's supposed to be giving them back.
Supposed to be, is
it? Yeah. That's
good luck with that.
We'll see. But all right, we'll get into, we, we're we're running out of time. I should have talked about it a little bit earlier, to be honest with you. The learners are probably going to sell the Nets. You think so? Think the learners will sell the Nets? Do you think?
I think they will. I mean, anytime something like that comes out in the public, then it's
so there's some truth to it.
There's some truth to it. It's not like, and you know, we'll talk about
it. We'll just talk about it after the break, though. But you're right, though. You're listening to Urban Sports Saying
for ages.
Yeah,
Deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
Let's go!
Let's go!
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wole. Ray Gigi is out, and we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. All right, it's been reported that the Lerner family will explore selling the Washington Nationals. Will, you're a Nets fan. Are you in favor of this if it happens? You know,
why are you saying that so happily?
What? You're a Nets fan.
I am a Nets fan.
Look, bro, I know you got it. It's the truth.
Yeah, no, I'm just giving you a hard time, man.
I actually came. I'm the one person last week when we had Kevin from Talk Nets on the show saying that I think the Nets can surprise some folks. But anyway, go ahead. This is a different topic. Let's go.
Yeah. look, the Lerners are at the time when they purchased the Nets, they were the wealthiest owner. Now, they've made considerable investment into that stadium and the area around the stadium and also to the roster. Uh-huh. But whenever a report like this gets out and you have the manager, Davey Martinez, essentially confirming that this, you know, that this, he's had these conversations with the Lerners.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, and he's pretty much confirmed that that's what he's heard from them, specifically Mark Lerner, who I believe is the son, yes, the son of Ted Lerner. Uh-huh. Who originally purchased the franchise. You know, it looks like we're going to have a new owner. With the way the valuation of baseball franchises has really gone up, specifically the New York Mets, I believe Steve Cohen, a hedge fund manager, I believe he paid like $2 or $3 billion for the Mets.
Uh-huh.
Now, the valuation for the Nets may not be as high simply because the Nets don't have their own TV deal,
yeah,
right?
Like the Orioles like, TV deal.
Yeah, yeah, because of someone is trying to maintain a monopoly over this area.
Bro, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Angelos. You know who I'm talking about.
Peter, he the mafia. Dude, get your game up.
No, but, you know, if the reports are true and the Lerners are looking to sell this franchise, I think they've been a good steward.
I think so too. They want a World Series.
They want a World Series. Some people argue they should have won more World Series.
Yeah, champs are hard to win, man.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Sport.
But one thing you can't take away from this organization, this ownership group, is that they didn't invest in a roster. They didn't. When they had a championship contending team, they went all in, and they went and got the players that they thought would help this organization, but not necessarily mortgaging the future.
I mean, to me, and I'm gonna read some tweets and stuff on Facebook. But I don't. A lot of people have a problem with the Lerners. I don't, because I'm an Orioles fan, and you just mentioned Peter Angelos. That man's stingy with his money. Like the Orioles had, like, they don't go all in like the Nets. Even when they were winning baseball games, they don't go all in like on the Nets. Like the Nets bring in a Scherzer, they bring in aces. Orioles had a lot of players on budgets where, you know, if I told you who the Orioles ace was, you wouldn't know who the hell it was. You know, and this is when they had Adam Jones, Nick Markakis and all these other like all these
Chris Davis.
Chris Davis. A lot of these dudes were off bargain. Chris Davis was on the throw-in trade, and no one thought was going to be this type of player. Adam Jones was a player that no one thought that was going to be that type of player coming out of Seattle when they made the trade. He was a decent prospect, but no one thought he would turn up that way. You had Matt in the rest of draft picks. Matt Wieters draft picks. Manny Machado. These weren't players that they invested in getting like and tried to pay and bring in. These are players that were kind of brought in, like we talk about in a football sense, drafting correctly or, you know, making correct bargain deals. That's what the Orioles, that's how they got lucky. Not so this is not an Orioles show, but I'm going to, but just using this as a comparison is then it, with the learners, dude, they were trying to get players. Yeah. They were trying to get players. Forget whatever you don't you care about, whatever you think about Jason Worth. At that particular point in time,
they overpaid.
But he was a free agent that a lot of teams did want.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He was a good hitter.
You brought Max Scherzer.
Yep.
You brought him in. Like, so you've done things. Even Corbin, like when when they brought in Corbin, he was one of the better starters in baseball. So like this, the learners to me have tried to win baseball games. Has it worked out? No. But they've tried to win baseball games. So I think that it could be worse. I think Nats fans who are like, they're happy with it. It could be worse.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, look, all anyone has to do is just look within the division. Look at the Miami Marlins.
Yes. Are they trying?
No, they're not. At this point, it doesn't seem as if they're trying that hard. But, you know, but that's also an organization that's won two World Series. And they've had a fire sale twice, you know, more than twice, three times, you know, whenever just because they because of the finances.
Yeah.
So, you know, I if the learners were to or when they do sell, if the reports are true, I'll just thank them for bringing baseball back to D.C. because it's been a long time that this organization didn't have a that this town did not have a baseball team. Right. Yes. Like me, I'm not going to say I was a huge baseball fan growing up, but once I started to learn more about the game and become invested in the game.
You become a big Nats fan.
Yeah, I was a Yankees fan because there was no way in hell that I was going to be an Orioles fan because of Peter Angelos and the way he tried to have a monopoly and prevented the DC area from having a baseball team.
I'm just a loyal baseball fan. I'm a loyal fan, period, and it's unfortunate. But yeah, feel free to tweet us at Urban Sports and hit us up on IG. At Urban Sports Scene and comment on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. See on Twitter, the homie Kevin Nibley, who was on the show last week, he tweeted, it's a big can of worms. Could be great if you get deep pockets like Bezos, or could be disastrous if you get a punny pincher like Angelos. So I'm saying, you can get a Peter Angelos, man.
Yeah, like I said, if or when it's the learners sell this team, I'll just be grateful because of what they invested into the city, you know, building that area up around the stadium, and then also they did.
You into that?
Not really.
I'm about to say you into. Okay, you're not. I'm going to say about to say.
No, I mean, I don't go down there.
You're okay,
but it's nice to see someone putting that investment into it. You know, they gentrifying.
I'm about to say. I'm about to say.
Yeah, I don't necessarily. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying though. Yeah. I get it. It's like a give or take. It's like when you think about. Well, I mean, that part of town has a value to me. So.
Okay. Yeah.
What's
understood don't need to be said.
Exactly right.
but when or if they do sell, all I can. You know, as a fan of this organization, all I could do is thank them because, you know, they brought baseball back to D.C. They brought a winner.
Bro. Like, come on, man. Like, I'm an Orioles fan, but watching that World Series run was dope.
That was an amazing World Series run,
bro. Like,
because no one really thought that they would make it that far.
No, because especially how the season went and then was going. And then you make it in, and then you had so many heroes. Like Howie Kendrick,
Ryan Zimmerman, Anthony Rendon, Steven Doolittle,
Steven Strasburg,
Scherzer,
like going multiple innings, playing, you know, going back being relievers. Like they did
Patrick Corbin.
Patrick Corbin was amazing.
And then Sean Doolittle.
Yeah, all of them were amazing, man. It was a complete team effort. Oh, I'm sorry, Juan Soto.
Juan Soto, Ryan Madsen.
Yeah, Hudson.
Yeah, Hudson.
You know what I mean? So it was a great effort by that team. So
it was one of those improbable runs, and you think about it, because they won all four games in the World Series on the road.
On the road, you know what I mean? So he's part of that. He may not played on the football. He might have played on the baseball field. May have not thrown a strike, or may have not hit a home run. But he helped bring that team together. He helped bring the pieces to that squad. He helped. So I know a lot of fans aren't the biggest, they're not the biggest fans of the Learners, but I do think that the Learners have brought something that these fans will never forget, and that's a World Series championship. On Twitter, my man Stephen Powers tweeted, I saw it, about, the Learners, what he thought about it. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? He said, yes, it's a good thing. So, I'm just saying, man. It's cool to say it now, but it can be bad, bro.
It could be worse.
It could be worse.
Not every organization is lucky enough to get a Steve Cohen, a guy who has very deep pockets, who wants to spend and bring in players and chase a world. Has a mentality: I'm going to chase a World Series every year.
Yeah.
I'm telling people, it can get a lot worse because this team does not have a TV deal. And a TV deal is one of the primary means of revenue for an owner.
I agree. I'm telling you. So just relax, folks. Relax. All right. So anyway, we're going to look back at the Wizards season. Had a rookie coach. It didn't pan out the way some folks thought it may pan out.
I told you how it was going to pan out.
Anyway, we'll talk about it after the break. Listening to Urban Sports Saying.
For ages. You dig? Deuces.
Rewind. Go ahead.
Empire Media. It's empiremedia.com.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man. How you doing? You good?
I know you like that.
Welcome back.
I know you like that.
How long you been back? Welcome back.
I see the girls in the club. They're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all want to smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this style for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. World debut, I know they gon' fiend. Everything Mississippi to the Palm Springs. Girls from brunettes down to blonde queens. These young boys don't know what a don mean. I'm just a bad boy gone clean. I'm the diamond chain choker, always remain sober. Don't drink liquor and all the game's over. Need a plane, I explain it to my broker. Three bots in the hood, top down, and ain't over. You know there's more, man, where that come from. Me and Kuda love rolling back to back in one.
See the names have all changed since I've been around. But the game ain't the same since I left out.
I went so much they wanna know who I'm coached by. Every day approached by chicks when I was no top. Wanna give me so side, but I'm like, don't try. I see the hisses and the disses when I go.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Will T. Ray Jeezy is out tonight. We are part of Empire Media. Alright, now we're gonna start to talk about Washington's other team that season has ended. Well, There's no other team whose season's already.
Washington football season ended. Then off season.
Let's talk about the Wizards. The Wizards.
Yeah, the Wizards.
Yeah, in the first year, Wes Unseld Jr. went 35-47. Not necessarily what everyone thought it would be because he got off to 11-3 start. Yeah. He started hotter than fish grease.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Unseld's season?
A rookie coach. There are things that, he could do better, rotations and whatnot, but I think that, the Wizards aren't a juggernaut team. I think that, once he gets settled, I think year two will probably be the year that you'll get the real Wes Unseld Jr. as that coach. You'll have a good idea of what he really is going to bring to the table. His best player didn't play most of the season. a lot of lineups. He was trying to get Rui integrated to the team. He came in. He came pretty much late because of, you know, health and mental health issues or whatnot. So you really, and then Spencer Dinwiddie. The issue with Spencer Dinwiddie just not vibing with the rest of the team. So, you know,
allegedly.
So they're going to have to get, you know, the correct pieces and have a team that has real chemistry for us to really get an idea of what he can do. But I don't think he's the – I guess because what – like what the Wizards are on paper, it's about right. You know what I mean? Like last season, regardless of what people want to say, you know, he played in L.A., Russell Westbrook helped them get to where they were last season. You can be as negative as you want to be, but he did help them. He brought leadership, took the pressure off of Bradley Beal, so it made a lot of big shots for them to make it to the postseason. So this is, you know, I feel like with this squad is a little different. The dynamic is different. So what I think you'll get a better indication what Wes Unseld Jr. is going to be next season. But I think as a coach, it was okay.
Yeah, I think that 11-3 start kind of skewed everyone's expectations.
Yeah, it did me too. It sure did. It skewed me too.
Yeah, some people kind of knew what this team
just
was.
Just say you, man. Just say you. Just got sometimes just, you got to pat yourself on the back sometimes.
I do.
Yeah, bro.
It's not that I'm happy that they weren't successful, but I knew what this team was, and I kind of saw with this roster, because to me it's kind of a roster influx.
Sure.
Right, because you have these three young players in Rui Hachimura, you have Corey Kispert, and you have Denny. But then you also brought in a lot of veterans. You brought in KCP. You brought in
Kuz.
You brought Kuz in. So to me, it was kind of like, all right, there's some mismatched pieces, and you brought in Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
So there was some mismatched pieces.
Trade.
Yeah, which you did trade and got nothing for.
Got nothing
for
in return. Who's having a good year? But go ahead. Continue.
that baffled me.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
Yeah, but you know, you saw these, and it's kind of mishmash. Like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to be a team that's contending for the back end of the playoffs, mm-hmm. or are you a team that wants to develop these three young core pieces in hopes that these are the right three guys to build around Bradley Beal?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think overall it's not the season people would have hoped for, but yeah. Like you said, it's par for the course. I'll be interested to see when or if, you know, when Bradley Beal comes back, do they give him a contract extension? If they give him a contract extension, how does he play with Kristaps Porzingis, right? Uh-huh. And then you also need to address the point guard position. So where are you going? How are you going to address the point guard in position? And if you have Kuzma, Porzingis, and Bradley Beal, to me, you have to have a guy who's a pass-first point guard.
Yeah.
A pass-first point guard who can knock down threes and plays tremendous one-on-one defense and also good help defense.
Uh-huh.
So there are a number of pieces that you need to fill in on this roster. They have their, you know, they have a lottery pick.
Yeah.
This draft isn't particularly.
You gotta be in the right spot to get there, right? There's about five good ones, but you have to.
But then again,
and you never know.
Wally, we say, you know, there's about.
No, I'm not saying guarantee. Not a guarantee. I'm just saying like there's.
No, but this is what I'm about to say. Like we always say that they're probably four or five can't miss guys, but then the good franchises always find a guy who's a contributor, like the Spurs.
Oh yeah.
Toronto. Yeah. You know what I mean? These are organizations. The Heat. These are organizations.
They identify their guys. They're good. They know who fits their system. Basketball is really. I think scouts make basketball way too hard, complicated. You can kind of, if you're a gritty team like you mentioned, like the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to identify a guy in the draft that fits your culture. It's really not that hard.
Yeah, from a personality standpoint.
Yeah, from a personality standpoint. Yeah.
But that's the thing, though. Yeah. Like, when we talk about those organizations, they have a culture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
They have a culture. They have a way. We say, hey, we know guys with a certain type of personality that are fit, that are work here. Look, I don't necessarily know if the Wizards have a culture, right?
Yeah,
but
you're trying to build it. You don't know what they have.
Yeah, I don't know what they have. Mm-hmm. Tommy Shepard is in his, what, this would be his third?
Coming to be his third year.
This would be his third year as GM.
Yeah,
He's team president now.
But you know, I know what you're saying. Just say third GM. Yeah. He's making the moves. That's making the moves.
So you know, like, what's the culture within, you know, that organization? What, and then not only that, what's the strategy for going forward? Like, are we going to build a? Are we going to give Bradley Beal a max contract? Okay, if you do give him max contract to Bradley Beal, Dennis. Essentially,
you're building around him.
You're building around Bradley Beal.
He is the star. And you have to get a guy who's a little bit lesser than him, if you believe that he's going to be the star to take you to the championship.
Well, I mean, if I'm pretty sure they think that they have two guys that play well with him in Kyle Kuzma and Kristaps Porzingis. So, you know, they probably feel they have two guys. They aren't superstars per se like Bradley Beal, but they're star quality guys. And then you have three guys in Rui Hachimura, Corey Kispert, and Denny Avdija who will kind of, you know, plug in and they'll be key pieces.
Yeah, I think Rui had a good, was playing pretty well.
Towards the end of the season. Yes.
Still progressing as a young basketball player, but I agree with you. I think they do have to figure out their identity. I think that's like every basketball team, especially what you want to draft, what's going to fit that identity. It's very important. But we posed a question on our social media platforms of, you know, like, you know, how do you think that Wes Unseld Jr. did in his first year? Ashley went to the same high school as you, Roger.
Okay.
Roger posted on Facebook picking up where his dad left off, effing up basically.
Wow,
Roger's OC.
Those are very strong comments, Raj.
The homie Mark Good said he sucks.
Damn, y'all are hard on this first year, man.
Brandon Craig on Facebook posted advice: sign Tariq Evans for cheap. Sign Deshaun Nix from Houston G League. And Kansas big man is available. Grab him as you have enough scores. Playoffs next year, and with those additions, I don't like Kansas big man that much. But
one guy who, and I don't even know if he would be available, but I think would be the perfect point guard for this team is Trey Jones from he went to Duke, but he played for the Spurs. He's the backup point guard.
Yeah.
The Spurs clearly have a star point guard in DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
Trey Jones, if you're looking for a guy who could play defense and is a pass-first point guard, I think Trey Jones is the perfect point guard.
Oh, they can try to get John Wall back.
They could.
Bradley Beal was talking about, they was gassing that up. That was a rumor. Folks are trying to bring John Wall back to D.C.
Look, I don't know. You know, the reports are he didn't necessarily leave on good terms because of that video that came out when he was traded prior to him being traded for Russell Westbrook. Shit. But look, I think fans would be excited if John Wall came back. But I do think, you know, if you're going to sign Bradley Beal, you need to start finding guys that complement his skill set. And I think a guy like Trey Jones is a guy who would complement his skill set.
Definitely agree. The homie Cameron on Twitter tweeted, I thought he did all right, considering we started it off strong, then struggled the rest of the way. Now it depends on what Tommy Shepard does for this roster so that Wes Unseld can work with to have a successful season next year.
Look, for, you know, people's opinion is their opinion, but I'll say this. Wes Unseld Jr. has a track record as an assistant coach of being a very good defensive tactician.
Yeah.
Now, this team didn't play great defense this year. Maybe there's some things, maybe he needs to dumb down the scheme, or maybe he needs to change the scheme, or maybe he doesn't have the players to play the scheme he wants, and he had to augment some things, but I definitely think that given a second year here and with this in a roster that you make some additions and they start to gel in the off season and to the season, I think this could be a team that could compete for one of the play-in spots.
All right, on another tweet at Black Martian, I would say 33. Yeah, 333. So I think he did well considering all the injuries. With a deeper bench, they'll be in position next year for a playoff run if Bill and Unicorn come back.
Unicorn? Who's Unicorn?
Oh, Porzingis, the Unicorn.
There's no Unicorn.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
We was like, ain't no Unicorn.
Ain't no Unicorn.
Not anymore.
No.
Them days over.
When he first came on the scene in New York and he was doing those things, yeah, he was a unicorn. Like, but like, now, no.
We was like, he ain't a unicorn. Not anymore.
Nope.
Not anymore. He was a unicorn. But you touched on a little bit. I mean, we have about 3 more minutes to break, but you touched on it.
We got 3 more minutes left. I did want to give one shout out.
Go ahead, bro.
To Shakira Stevens, who was drafted by the Mystics, 3rd overall. She's local, so she's welcome back home.
Okay.
Yeah, she went to Riverdale Baptist.
Okay.
She attended Maryland for 1 year.
And then she went to
Ole Miss. Yep. So 6'5" center. She's joining a championship contending team. So it will be exciting for fans of women's basketball and who enjoyed Mystics games.
I do like women's basketball. So that's not a thing. I'm not anti women's basketball. I love women's basketball, to be honest with you. I just haven't been following.
Yeah, I get it.
I do better. I've done better over the last several years. This year I've been bad. I don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? I've been the Lakers. They ruined all basketball for me. I can't even watch. My Hoyas suck. My Lakers suck. Like, my Hoyas suck too, dog. That really hurt. Dude,
I'm a Wizards and Knicks fan. I know nothing but tragic endings to season, so you will get no sympathy from this side.
I'm just saying, like, I don't even know. But you mentioned about Bill. It's a decision to have to be made, though, to really think about. You know, a lot of people are so pro Bill here, but you know, and when we talked about this, I feel like we talked about this on a different episode. But you know, we talk about, and not to this degree, but paying the bag for Otto Porter, right? Paying the bag. Folks are mad. We're mad at the John Wall signing, right?
No.
After the fact. So now it's like, all right, you're going to offer Bradley Beal this bag. It's probably going to happen. Let's keep the buck. You're going to offer the bag. So if you offer him the bag, right, is it the same situation? Is it the same situation? Are you giving him way too much money? Because he's not going to be – to get to – because your goal is to win – if your goal –
if your goal is to win the championship, right? So I think – The question, we're not asking the right question.
Yeah.
The right question is, do we believe you can build a championship squad around Bradley Beal?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and what's irregardless of money. Let's take money out of the equation, right?
Do you think you can build, as the main dude.
As Bradley Beal, as the offensive focal point, mm-hmm. the leader of your organization, and the leader of your locker room, mm-hmm. do you believe he is a man that can lead you to a championship?
There you go.
I think that's the question you have to ask.
Yeah. And I think that's the question that this organization needs to ask themselves. And I'll say this much. And maybe the organization, maybe their goal isn't to win a championship this year or next year. Is your goal to win a championship? Like, that's the question you should really ask.
I think that front office and that ownership team would be feel disrespected if we asked that question. I think it's the same thing that happened to you being blackballed at the Washington Commanders games. What would happen if you went to the Wizards?
Oh man!
Went to a Wizards press conference and you asked anyone in the front if you asked that same question.
Okay, fair point. All right, as part of our new segment, HBCU Corner, we'll play our interview with Delaware State University DB freshman All American and first team defense All MEAC. Asias Guthrie after break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
On Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
All right. Deuces.
Deuces.
Southern University.
What's up with y'all?
Alabama State. Damn you. Clark Atlanta.
Good to be back.
I shake your money maker. Don't let that money maker. I shake that money maker. Don't let that money make it. Oh, shake your money maker. Don't let that money make it. I shake that money maker. Don't let that money make it, baby. Yeah, I shake that money maker. Don't let that money make it. You know I accommodate you. Can I accommodate you? I make you. I know you're home lately. I turn your curly hair into that bone straightening. I make you moan, baby. It feel right, don't it?
I know I'm wrong, baby. Wrong. That pheromone fragrance. Can't miss no car payments. Oh. I kiss her earlobe. Like, what you doing, lady?
You doing?
The Birkin alligator. Them lanes agitator. Oh. I'm talking out your beauty. No makeup applicator.
No need.
She say I killed the... I seen the affidavit. She blew my cap off. Like I had graduated.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy is out. We are part of Empire Media. It's time for HBCU Corner. This segment spotlights coaches and players within HBCU athletics. Here is an interview with Delaware State University defensive back, freshman All-American, and first-team defense All-MEAC. Jesus Christ, that's a lot. He got a lot going on.
I'm out here, peace, bro.
Isaiah Guthrie.
Isaiah
Guthrie. We conducted this interview last week. You can also find a video of this interview on our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. All
right, my man.
Welcome back to HBCU Corner. Right now we have Delaware State University star defensive back Isaiah Guthrie on the show. Isaiah was also first team defense All-MEAC. What's up, Isaiah, and welcome to HBCU Corner with the Urban Sports Scene.
How you doing, boss? Thanks for having me.
It's good, man. Glad to have you on, my man.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. So, bruh, I don't know if you're familiar with us. I see you follow us on social now, so that's what's up. And we're going to kind of bring you in the fold how we do things just to get interviews started off. And I was just telling the story right before you came on that we went to UMES, a rival school, you know, so it's cool that we have you on. It just shows how we've grown over the years.
They have a football team. We don't, though. That's at that end.
That's the biggest issue. But at least for basketball, you know what I'm saying, Dale State used to bus students to UMES. Not that far. And, stuff happened, man. It'd be some fights, all types of stuff. But, you know, I ain't even going to go there. That's why I asked you, was you from Philly? Because that's who started it last time when Dale State came on our campus and stuff went left. But, look, again, that wasn't me. But speaking of just UMES, Dell State, what's the best homecoming you've been to? It don't have to be HBCU, but I understand you want to rep your school, though.
Of course. I've been to a few. I've been to Harvard, I've been to Lincoln's, I've been to Dell State. So far, I got to say Lincoln put on a show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Better than Howard?
Yeah, well, Howard's, I was only there for a quick moment. Mm-hmm. Not quick moment, but I wasn't there. I didn't get the full experience of it all like I wanted to. So hopefully either in the next couple of years or even when I'm an alumni of Delaware State, I can go back and visit again and get that experience.
How was Dell State's homecoming? Like, tell us about it.
One of a kind. Mm-hmm. One of a kind to its own. I always tell people, like, if you want to know what an HBCU is about, go to their homecoming. And you'll see a lot of the people, and then you'll really understand what that school means to the people that have been there, and you'll start to get more of a love for it, you know. And that's where my love for Delaware State came from. Talking to the alumni, talking to the people that have been here, who have walked in my shoes, and so it was great. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every year. I can't wait for the next year.
Dope. So, who is your favorite football player?
My favorite football player. Wow. I don't know. Honestly, a favorite football player. I got a lot of people that I try to watch to key off of and learn new things. I don't think I have a favorite football player as of right now. My top guys to watch right now would be J.C. Jackson, Xavier Howard, and Jalen Ramsey.
Okay. So who would you say your game compares to?
I'm more of a Jalen Ramsey if he played more safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So yeah.
He used to play safety at Florida State. He was a bad boy. So I'm going some more pop culture stuff. What's your favorite TV show?
My favorite TV show right now. I watch a lot of stuff. I jump around. So the TV show that I'm stuck on right now, trying to catch up on, would be Bel-Air. But I love Power.
You're my guy. You're my guy already. You like Power. You're my guy.
Hold up. Not Force, though, right?
Force is okay, right? Don't do that. Force is okay.
Force?
Yeah, with Tommy. He's talking about Tommy. Tommy Power.
No. I haven't watched that yet. I haven't watched that yet. I like the one with Tyreek, though.
There we go.
That's great. I like that one. That was really good.
Real talk, Force is getting better. I got to catch up to Force. Force is getting better.
I'm with Tyreek. That's ghost.
I'll try it when I'm done Bel Air, though. I'll try to see what it's about.
Yeah, Bel Air is cool. Bel Air shocked me for real. When I saw the trailer at first, I'm like, they make it into a serious show. But I watched the whole thing, so I can't say with so much. You see how the first season is, though. I ain't going to ruin it. But what you think about Hillary, though?
Oh, Hillary?
Yeah.
Oh. It's a dope show. I don't think they should have made it like a remodel of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I think that kind of like got people a little iffy about it, but then mm-hmm. it had its own show. It's really a good one.
All right. Well, let's get right into football, man. So in the 2021 season, you became first team defense All-MEAC, and you led the MEAC in interceptions, which is pretty dope, my man. So what was your motivation going into the 2021 season?
A lot, really. So, I mean, just coming to Delaware State by itself, you come in with a chip on your shoulder. You know what I mean? You come into a small school. And me being from Delaware, it was really big. You know, my trainers, they went to Delaware State. And so they always tell me about how things were, about how the winning culture was and all of that. So that alone had me coming in with a little chip on my shoulder. And then right before the 2021 season, I found out that I was going to be a father in August. So in the middle of training camp, I actually had to leave for like 2 to 3 days, handle that, see my son be born, and then come back. So him alone was a great motivation, too.
That's probably the biggest motivation for you right now, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, man. All right, so How would you describe? Oh, I already mentioned. So I know you compared yourself to Jalen Ramsey, but how would you describe your game?
I would say it's one big. I would say I use a lot of finesse in what I do. I like to key off certain things. I like to use my IQ to take me far. I've realized that there's a lot of things that I'm not good at, but I use my strengths to make sure that my weaknesses don't show very much. And my biggest strength has to be my IQ. So I'm able to read a lot of things faster than other people and get into certain positions, certain areas faster than people are able to. And so I use that a lot when picking out different things within the game.
Sweet. So obviously Dell State, HBCU, you just mentioned it. Your trainers went to Dell State, the history, the culture. We already kind of discussed it. But we already know the attention on HBCUs is growing, and it's growing at a crazy rate. It's going to go back to where it was when, you know, I was younger, where HBCUs produced a lot of professional talent, a lot of players from HBCUs was in the NFL. So what do you think about the attention that HBCUs are garnering now, and just how do you want to take advantage of that as you continue to pursue your football dreams?
I always been one for the attention. I love the attention that we're getting. I love all that, and to see the new things, that it's big for all of us. I appreciate what Deion has done for the schools, with they're doing at Grambling, what they're doing at Tennessee State. I think it's big for the little guys, and I feel like we're going to get our time, and it's coming fast. And we just got to be ready to take it on full head. You know, no one likes to have all that attention coming, and we don't show up. We got to show up when it's our time, and so I think that's the biggest part. So I'm just ready to being able to show up for the HBCU legacy, and show up for my school, and then show up for my family.
So what would you tell a high school prospect who was thinking about going to HBCU? What would you tell them?
Why not? Why not? You know, I'm going to tell them the same thing people told me is, you can go, if you're going to go anywhere, you can do it from anywhere. You know what I'm saying? If you want to go to the league, you can do it from any school. You know, there's guys at D3s that get picked higher than guys at D1s. So why not come to HBCU if that's what you want to do? Put in the work, put in the time, put in the effort, and play hard, and you're gonna get your shine when the time comes.
Well, Cyrus, man, this has been dope, man. Appreciate you being on HBCU Corner. Is there anything you would like to add?
I don't know. I appreciate you guys for having me. Appreciate you guys for shedding light on Delaware State. Appreciate your time, and I can't wait to get you guys to a game.
Oh, man.
And your pro day. When your pro day comes.
Oh, yeah. We there.
Coming.
I peeped your film, man. I think you mean. I'm going to say this. I'm not trying. I'm not gassing you up because you're on here. Because if people who know me, I'm not going. If you ain't that tight, I ain't going to say nothing. I'll just be quiet. I saw your tape. I thought you were dope. And I think, you know, that with reading it up on you, seeing that you play wide receiver in high school, like, it definitely, you can see it. Like, you got ball skills, bro. You got a nickname? Because, I mean, I feel like you're, like, on the field, when you that type of cornerback, you got to have a nickname. Deion Primetime, you know, everybody got something. You got to have, like, a nickname, bro.
I don't really have an – I had a nickname from my high school, so I was always the X receiver, so they used to just call me X. And so – but when I got here, that kind of died down because I wasn't a receiver anymore.
Okay, you can bring it back. You can still say X.
That explains your Twitter handle. I like
you,
that, Drake.
Yeah, bro. And you can still – hey, look, real talk, you can still be X. You X the receivers out.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
We might have to jump back at that.
All right, man. It was a pleasure having you on, okay, my man.
Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, bro. That was dope, man. Isaiah Guthrie, man. Delaware State DB, man. Shutting stuff down, man. Homie gonna be the truth. Y'all know that you heard this. You heard it here. Homie gonna be the truth. You gonna see him playing on Sundays. I feel it, man. I claim that for him. All MEAC. Freshman All-American. Come on, man. You know what time it is. Make sure we also have his video. This particular, like Will said, we got this particular video on YouTube. So check it out. Just check out the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. He on there. You know what I mean? Like I said, homie going to be special. He going to be mean. All right, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Again, you make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Ampire Media, at amppiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Ampire shows as well as other great content. Hey, appreciate you all for tuning in. You know you all dope. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages, yeti deuces, a mega. Lead us out, big homie.